If you would, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And if you already found that, we're also going to go to Genesis chapter 4, the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 4. But we'll start in Hebrews chapter 11. First of all, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 4 after that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, which are not made, are things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And if you will, go to Genesis chapter 4, and we'll begin reading with verse 1 of Genesis chapter 4, and verse 1. "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In process of time it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain arose up against Abel his brother, and slew him." Father, we come before you thanking you for your word. Thank you we can read from it and study from it and hear from it. And we thank you for our pastor. And Lord, I just pray that you'll fill him with your power, with your spirit, and speak through him and speak to our hearts. Lord, we're such needy people. We need your touch. We need your strength. We need your help to make it through another day and another week. And Lord, I just pray that you'll guide each and every one. And we thank you for each one that's here tonight. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless them in a very special way. Just meet their needs. Whatever they came for, Father, if there's one here that doesn't know you as a personal Savior, that tonight will be the day of salvation. And Lord, Father, we just pray that you'll guide us and direct us, and may we give you the honor and praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. We are looking at the book of Hebrews and chapter 11, what is called the faith chapter. We've spent a couple of weeks there on Sunday nights. We talked about faith and what it is. And then last week we talked about the fact in verse 3 that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And our faith in the creation, faith in the Word of God about creation, how God made the world. Tonight I want to talk to you about the subject, by faith Abel worshipped. We come to the first of the heroes of faith in the biographies of believers here in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. And the first person that is mentioned is Abel, who worked and worshipped by faith. It's significant that the first person mentioned here is Abel and not Adam. But God mentions Abel first. He shares with us the first act of worship that was recorded in human history. True worship, I believe, is the highest faith function of the human soul. And only as we worship God can we walk with God and can we witness for God. Our walk affects our worship, and our worship affects our witness. And God wants us to be faithful in all of those. The account of Abel is very sketchy. Many things are left unexplained. There are no details sometimes in places where we'd like to be details. And there are questions that we don't have all the answers to in relation to the life of Abel. But God gives us enough and gives us what He wants us to know. There's a little window into the life of Abel, and we read that in those first 8 verses of Genesis chapter 4. And God gives us a little bit of an insight there into the home life of Abel. And so I want to look at several things tonight. First of all, our introduction to two brothers. And again, there's a page of notes in your bulletin, if you have that from this morning, that you can fill out. Anybody not have that and you'd like to get one of them? We'll see if we can find some. Okay, do we have some of those guys that are available, some extra bulletins? John's got them right here. All right, John, if you'll give those to some of these other... David, you got some? Great. Just hold your hand up there for a minute till they get to you, and you can have one of those and fill it out as we go along tonight. Very good. John, right here beside you, buddy. Back here. Rosemary needs one. Good. All right. Clint, very good. All right. Bill, you might as well put your hand down. There's no pictures on there. So. Yeah. Oh. He was picking on me this morning, so I have to get even with him tonight. All right. First of all, we want to look at our introduction to two brothers. There's a town on the Amazon River in Brazil which has the official name of the Port of Two Brothers. The two brothers that established the town were missionaries. Now, here in Genesis chapter 4, we have what we might call the portrait of two brothers. It's not the port of two brothers, but the portrait of two brothers. They're quite different from the two brothers who established the town, who were missionaries, established the town of the Port of Two Brothers. This paragraph of biblical history gives us the bare details of the early life of Cain and Abel. And so I want us to consider, first of all, the two offspring. The two offsprings are Cain, the elder son. The word Cain, the name Cain, means spear. That's kind of interesting because he ended up taking the life of his brother. His name literally meant spear. The name Abel, the younger son, his name means vapor or breath. When you think about vapor or breath, what do you think about? God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And you think about the breath of life and the Holy Spirit. And Abel was the one who was yielded to the Lord and surrendered to God's way in his life. So these names, if you kind of think about them a little bit, they're very interesting in view of what developed later on in the life of these two men. It's interesting as you study the Bible and go through seeing the different names of people and obviously those names were given before birth, maybe on a few occasions after birth, but most of the time before birth, and how many times the lives of the people matched the name that was given to them. And by the way, that ought to be a good instruction for us today, because I believe even in our day-to-day, we don't realize how oftentimes our kids grow up to, in some ways, match the name that we've given to them. And so... It'd be a good study. Get your kids to study their name. What does their name mean? And it also is a caution to be careful what names you give to your children. Give them names that'll have meaning and character and so forth. Now, I'm not fussing anybody. Some of you, I don't know, you know, what your thoughts are on that. But I see a pattern in Scripture, and I think it can affect the lives of our children today. So give them names that'll bring glory to the Lord and names that they can live up to. Amen? Isn't it interesting? I don't think I've ever heard of any girl named Jezebel. Have you? Would you name your daughter Jezebel? I have heard a few people's name Judas, but you don't hear many. Usually they're Jude in short, but once in a while you'll hear the name Judas. But there's some names that we just don't give to our children because you don't want them to be associated with that name. Amen? We have nicknames that we give to people. I remember a fellow worked with me in the church when I was in Georgia. He was a short fellow. Everybody called him Shorty. And that nickname kind of stuck with him. We used to kid him all the time about being short. I used to tell him, I'd say, Forrest, they don't make men like you any longer. And He'd always have something to come back with, and he'd say, well, you know, when it rains, I'm the last one to get wet, you know. And he had some good lines to come back at us. But names, these men, Cain and Abel, their names had something to do with the life. And then secondly, notice their two occupations. Their two occupations. Cain was a farmer, and Abel was a shepherd. Back in Genesis chapter 4, we read the verses there. David did for us just a moment ago. Look at verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 4. Verse 2, it says, and she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. He's a farmer, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Or Cain is the farmer, and Abel is the shepherd, the keeper of the sheep. Both of them, farmer and shepherd, I think all of us would agree, are commendable occupations, aren't they? There's nothing wrong with those occupations. These men had good occupations. There's nothing negative suggested about their occupation, and neither is there anything that would conclude that one occupation was better than the other. They're simply two men, two different occupations, farmer and a shepherd. Now notice their two offerings. Their two offerings. We have the two offsprings, the two occupations, the two offerings. This is the area that we have to understand a little bit if we're going to know what's going on with these two guys, with Cain and Abel, and what happens in their lives. These were the first recorded sacrifices after the fall of Adam and Eve that are given to us in Scripture, after Adam and Eve were expelled from the Garden of Eden. In fact, these were the first recorded sacrifices of anybody of the human race. And if you look at verse number 3 again of Genesis 4, it says, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So Cain brings his offering, and his offering is what? Fruit of the ground. All right, he brings his offering, the fruit of the ground. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was a British pastor and author, said this. He said, Cain was the lover of a merely outward worship in which faith had no place. I thought that was kind of interesting. An outward worship in which faith had no place. He loved a worship of show and pomp. He garnished the altar with fruits and decked it with flowers. His was a religion of taste and elegance, a religion of his own devising. End of quote. Now look at verse 4 of chapter 4. It says, and Abel, so we have Cain brought the offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock. So what is Abel's offering? It is the firstlings of the flock, right? What's the firstlings of the flock? Say that 10 times real fast. Firstlings of the flock. No, don't say it. Just kidding. All right. What's the firstlings of the flock? All right. The young ones, the firstborn of the flock, and we know that it was a sheep. And then he says, of the fat thereof. So what does that mean? If he brought the fat, means there had to be some bloodshed, didn't there? And that's the whole issue, is the blood. Without the shedding of blood, Hebrews says, there is no remission of sin. And so he brought of the fat, the Bible says thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, or very angry, and his countenance fell. Abel's lamb was a single lamb that he brought to the Lord as a sacrifice. Later on at the Passover, when the children of Israel began to bring the Passover lamb, it became one lamb for one family. Still later on at the day of atonement, it became one lamb for one nation. And finally at Calvary, it became one lamb for the entire world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Abel represents for us true worship. Cain represents for us false worship. And I think all of us understand and know that in our world today we have some true worship and we have some false worship, don't we? The two offerings are therefore expressive of the different kinds of religion. Second thing I want you to notice tonight, some observations about the two brothers. There's some observations that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, the activity that is described. The activity in which both of these boys were engaged was an act of worship. They're bringing a sacrifice to God. And so it's an act of worship. Both Cain and Abel gave their offerings to God. Now, they did probably better than some of us. They did bring an offering. Amen? Did God instruct them what to bring? Did God specify what was acceptable and what was not? And if He did, how did God communicate that to them? In the early days of human existence on this earth, God communicated to people directly and verbally with individual people. God spoke to them. God gave them instructions. He gave them direction. We'll see later on, Noah built the ark. God told Noah. We've studied that in our adult Sunday school class recently, the instructions that God gave Noah how to build the ark. So God spoke to people and gave them verbal instructions. At least 25 times in Genesis, you read these two words, God said. God said. In Genesis 4 and verses 9 and 10, God carries on a verbal conversation with Cain. Look down there at verse 9 and 10 with me. It says in verse 9, "And the Lord said unto Cain." So how's he dealing with Cain? He's talking to him, isn't he? Verbally speaking to him. He said to Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Isn't that interesting that he would lie to God? You know, you would think that nobody would ever lie to God. But especially if he's speaking to you, he's talking to you directly, and he asked him, he says, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Do you think he had any idea that God knew anyway? God knows everything, doesn't he? You can't get by with lying to God. And he said in verse number 10, God said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." So God put him on the spot, didn't he? He didn't let him get by with lying. He said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground." In other words, God was letting Cain know, "I know exactly what you did. I know everything about it. You're not going to be able to get by with lying to God." But a point I want you to notice is that it was a verbal conversation that God had with Cain. He spoke to him. He talked to him. And that conversation continues throughout the story that's given to us there. There are prior conversations that were given by God to instruct Adam and Eve. Go back with me to chapter 1 if you still have your place there in Genesis. Go back to chapter 1. And look at verses 27 and following. Chapter 1, verse 27. And it says there, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Verse 28. "And God blessed them." And what's the next two words? "God said." All right? "God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." How did they know what they were supposed to do? God said. God spoke to them. Verse 29, and what's the next two words? God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, that it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So God spoke. He carried on a verbal conversation with Adam and Eve and gave them instructions. He gave instructions to them about many things. He gave instructions to, or he had a verbal conversation with Cain. And there are other conversations that are recorded in Genesis in chapter 2 where God spoke to Adam and Eve about what they were to eat and what they were to not eat. And in chapter 3, God talks to them about their disobedience. Where art thou? Remember, he came to Adam after he sinned and he was hiding. And God said, "Adam, where art thou?" And Adam had hid and tried to hide from God. You couldn't hide from God any more than you could lie to God. Amen? Do you think maybe, and I don't know the answer to this question, but you think maybe Cain thought he could lie to God because his dad had hid from God or tried to hide from God? Neither one of them were successful, were they? You can't hide from God and you can't lie to God either way. But God evidently verbally revealed his will about many things to Adam and Eve, including the matter of their worship, how they were to worship. Cain and Abel had received specific instruction that was passed down to them from their parents in how God intended them to worship. That's how they knew they were to bring an offering. The activity of that is recorded for us there in Genesis chapter 4. The whole story centers around the act of worship. They are worshiping God. You say worship? How one chooses to worship is up to the individual. All religions are good. We should be free to worship according to the dictates of our own conscience. Not true. Amen. Wouldn't it be a good idea to consult the one whom we are worshiping in order to find out how to worship him? What does God want us to do? How does he want us to worship him? Secondly, I want you to see the appraisal that was delivered. The appraisal, back in Genesis 4 again, in verses 4 and 5, there is an appraisal that is given. And it says this in verse 4, Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain became the founder of the world's first false religion. False religion is an attempt to come to God in any other way than which God has prescribed. God had prescribed that they come to God with a blood sacrifice. Cain came with the fruit of the ground. It was not a blood sacrifice. It was a false religion. And all of the false religions of the world try to come to God some other way than what God has prescribed. Somebody says, well, I think you if you get baptized, that'll save you. That's a false religion. It's coming to God some other way. How did God say we come? We come with a blood sacrifice. People say, well, I think if you take communion or if you go to confession. No, God says you have to have a blood sacrifice. Somebody says, well, I think if you live a good life, do the best you can, you'll get to go to heaven. No, God says you have to have a blood sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There are differences in the worship of these two boys, and that reveals the difference in their heart. God was pleased with Abel, but he was displeased with Cain. God did not approve of what Cain did, but he did approve of what Abel did. So you see the appraisal that was delivered. And then notice the anger that was displayed. In chapter 4 again of Genesis, in verse number 5, it says, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, or very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? See, again, you have God talking to Cain. He's speaking to him verbally. He says, why are you angry? Why are you mad? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him, killed him. And the Lord said, where is thy brother? And then he said, am I my brother's keeper? He lied to the Lord about it. But you see the anger that is displayed. There's more in that particular passage of Scripture than we can cover in one message tonight, but it brings us to the truth that there's one who had a sacrifice that was acceptable and one who was not, and both of their offerings were an indication of the condition of their heart. Something going on in Cain's heart, because when God didn't accept his sacrifice, what did he do? He got angry, didn't he? He got mad. In fact, he became so angry that he actually killed his brother. Now, we have to understand that the human heart, we all have the same sinful nature, don't we? We're born with it. And before we look down our nose at somebody who has failure in their life, remember that we have some failures in our life. We are all sinners The difference is some of us are sinners saved by grace, and some are still sinners. And so the difference, the sinner may respond like Cain did in anger. The one who's saved by grace responds like Abel did in obedience and does what God tells him to do. And so you come to Hebrews 11, verse 4, when it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." It's interesting that God says, "By faith." He gave the right sacrifice, and he did it by faith. And it says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. His gift, his offering, gave evidence of the fact that something had happened in his heart and his life. God says that he was righteous. The only way we get righteous, we have no righteousness of our own. God says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But the Lord says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." My righteousness is not in me, it's in him. Amen. It's in Jesus Christ. And because of what was going on in Cain's heart, God said Cain was righteous, and by faith he brought the right sacrifice. Now, what does faith have to do with that? Well, one thing it has to do with that is he had faith that God would accept his sacrifice, didn't he? He obeyed God, and he believed God would accept it, that it would please God. Let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand, but are you obeying God in your sacrifice? We take an offering or receive an offering in our church service. We bring our tithes. We give our offerings. Do we please God with our sacrifice? We give our time to work on a bus route or to teach a Sunday school class or work in the nursery or sing in the choir or, well, I don't know about the guys back in the sound booth, but we're working on them. But they give of their time, don't they? There's different ways. All of that is a sacrifice, isn't it? We sacrifice our time. We give of our time so that we can serve the Lord. And we do it by faith, believing that when we offer our sacrifices, we're going to please Him. Amen. Don't you want to please God? I think that ought to be the goal of all of us, to want to please Him. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Thirdly, I want you to notice God's evaluation of the two brothers. What's God's evaluation? God's evaluation is very revealing about these two men. The lives of Cain and Abel are so interwoven and entwined that it's difficult to focus on one without focusing on the other. However, God comments, and his comments are recorded in Scripture, and they bring into focus the stark difference between these two brothers in a very dramatic way. First of all, you see God's evaluation of Cain. God's evaluation of Cain. If you search the Scriptures, you'll find the evaluation that God has about Cain. Let me share some verses with you and listen to what God says about Cain. In Genesis 4 and verse 5, he says, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect." Does that tell you something about God's evaluation of Cain? God did not respect his offering. Chapter 4, again, the end of verse 5 says, "Cain was very wroth," or very angry. That's God's evaluation. That's what God said about Cain. In chapter 4, verse 6, God asked him, "Why is thy countenance fallen?" God's looking at Cain and speaking to him, and his countenance, his attitude, his spirit was fallen. It was down. It was not good. In verse 7, he says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." God's saying to Cain, "There's sin at the door. You didn't do well." That's God's evaluation of Cain. In verse 8, it says, "Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him," or killed him. Again, those are God's words about him. In verse 9, it says, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" God knew that Cain was lying to him, didn't he? And then in verse 11 and 12, it says, "And now art thou cursed from the earth. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth." Again, this is God telling Cain what's going to happen to him. Verse 16, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." That's always a dangerous thing to do, isn't it? to go out from the presence of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, we read, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That tells us about God's evaluation of Cain. He's saying Abel gave a more excellent. In other words, Cain's offering wasn't as good as Abel's offering. In 1 John 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and slew his brother. God says Cain was of the wicked one. You know what that tells me about Cain? He wasn't saved, was he? He was of the wicked one. In 1 John 3, verse 12, it says, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. In 1 John 3, verse 15, it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. In 1 John 3, the last part of verse 15, it says, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Cain was a murderer. He did not have eternal life abiding in him. In Jude, verse 11, it says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Well, the Lord tells us a lot about Cain, doesn't he? And about his evaluation of Cain. I think you agree with me. I sure wouldn't want God talking about me that way, amen? I wouldn't want him to have to say those things about my life and my character and the way I was living. There may be those that read the account of Cain and what God says about it and think that God's punishment was excessive punishment on Cain. But if you look at the lifestyle of Cain, God reveals that Cain was a rebel against God evidently all his life. There's no indication that he ever repented of his disobedience of God's law. There's no indication he ever repented of his murder of his brother. He was religious, but he was not righteous. Amen? We have a lot of religious people in our world today who are not saved, not righteous, not born again. They're religious. And Cain turned his back on God and walked away, and as far as we know, as far as Scripture tells us, he never returned to God. Cain was not a child of God. You know why he was not a child of God? Hebrews 11, 4 says, by faith Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why was his sacrifice more excellent? It was a blood sacrifice, but it was by faith. Cain was not a child of God because he did not have faith. The lives of Cain and Abel are closely entwined, as I said earlier. But even though Cain has been in the spotlight somewhat, the real star of Genesis 4 is not Cain, it's Abel. You know, we hear the story of Cain and Abel. Who do we think about? Cain killed Abel. But the honest truth is, we probably speak more about Cain, but Cain wasn't the hero. Cain wasn't who the story is all about. The real star, the real hero is Abel. He far outshined his brother, didn't he? By faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice. So we see God's evaluation of Cain. Secondly, I want you to see God's evaluation of Abel. What does God say about Abel? Well, we start out by looking at Hebrews 11, 4. And again, God says there, by faith Abel offered. There's two important principles that are given to us in that phrase and in that verse, Hebrews 11 and verse 4. First of all, there is Abel's attitude toward God. By faith Abel offered. Abel had faith in God. Cain did not have faith in God. And that's the point of the whole story. There was a distinction in the disposition or the attitude of the two worshipers. Could I tell you that there is oftentimes a distinction between the attitudes of people who come to worship at Northern Kentucky Baptist Church? We're not always all coming for the right reason, are we? Why are we here tonight? I trust it is by faith we came to worship the Lord. Abel had that quality of faith that resulted in him obeying God's revelation to him regarding the type of sacrifice, the acceptable sacrifice that was brought. Cain did not have that quality of faith, and consequently, he brought the wrong sacrifice. He brought things that were the work of his hands, and his offering was not acceptable before God. In fact, verse number 6 of Hebrews 11 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Abel had faith, Cain did not have faith. And God says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Cain could not please God, he did not have faith. Cain's faithless offering was rejected. Abel's faith offering was accepted. Cain was rebuked by God. Abel was commended by God. You see clearly at the very beginning of the human race the principles of faith and faithlessness. Faithless worship and faith worship are given to us. And both are very obvious down through the human history, even to our day-to-day. There is faith worship and there is faithless worship. And by the way, it's important that the faith is in the right person, isn't it? The right object, the Lord Jesus Christ. Principle number two is Abel's approach to God. Abel's approach to God. Notice again in chapter 11 and verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice." Abel's attitude of faith had everything to do with his approach to God. He approached God with an appropriate sacrifice that had been sacrificed or had been specified by God. God had revealed His will verbally to Adam and to Eve, how they were to sacrifice to their family, the various things regarding sacrifice and worship. And here in this early history of mankind is a principle that's practiced throughout all of the Bible, and that is the principle of substitutionary atonement, the principle of a blood sacrifice. Again, the verse I've mentioned several times already in Hebrews 9:22 says, "But without the shedding of blood there is no remission," or there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. There must be the shedding of blood. So the fact that God accepted Abel's offering is evident that the offering was what God had stipulated. It was what God had told him to bring and told them to do. It was a blood sacrifice, which was the requirement to have our sins forgiven, to have our sins removed. One commentator said this, he said, "These are the first recorded sacrifices of the human race. To form an accurate conception of the idea which lies at the foundation of all sacrificial worship, we must bear in mind that the first sacrifices were offered after the fall and therefore presuppose the spiritual separation of man from God." See, before the fall, they didn't have to make any sacrifices, did they? Why? There was no sin yet. After the fall, they needed a sacrifice because there was sin. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. So there has to be the blood sacrifice that comes. Abel is an illustration of faith. Cain is an illustration of faithlessness. Abel offered a slain lamb. Cain gave an offering of produce, the fruit of the ground. We have reason to believe that Abel had some realization of his sinfulness and his need of forgiveness. Abel approached God on God's terms. Cain approached God on Cain's terms. Abel was commended by God. Cain was condemned. Abel was obedient. Cain was obstinate. Abel was referred to as righteous Abel. Cain is referred to as of the wicked one. The first two brothers in history stand out to us as the types and representatives of two main and enduring divisions of mankind and bear witness of the eternal enmity between good and evil, between faith and faithlessness, between righteousness and evil. And so, in conclusion, let me say this. Although there is more in the Bible about the rebel brother than the righteous brother, we must not allow Abel and his faith to get lost in all of the intriguing details of Cain and his failure. Amen? Don't overemphasize Cain and forget to remember what Abel did. His faith, by faith, he offered a more excellent sacrifice. Abel's faith, that's the focus of what we're talking about tonight. The record of his faith. Although not one single word that Abel ever said is recorded in the Bible, Abel's faith is a living voice. He, being dead, yet speaketh. The record of faith is a testimony to the succeeding generations that we're to follow in Abel's footsteps, amen? Not Cain's footsteps. We don't try to come to God with some work of our hands, something that we have done. The honest truth is, we don't deserve anything from God. We're sinners. We've failed. And the only thing we deserve is hell for all of eternity. But when we come to God with a blood sacrifice, and that blood sacrifice is the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to Calvary, shed His blood. That's the sacrifice that we present to God. And one day when we stand before God in heaven, the only thing God accepts is the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must come to Him through the blood of His Son. Eugene Peterson wrote the Rites of Faith as follows. He says, "It's often said that living by faith is a risky way to live. What isn't so often said is living by sight has its risks too, even greater risks. Living by faith is risky, but living without faith is even more risky." Is riskier a word? It's riskier, it's more risky. And the greater danger wasn't living by faith. The greater danger was living by unbelief. And Cain, who had no faith, had no relationship with God, a proper relationship, because he did not have faith. James Moffat wrote this. He said, "Death is never the last word in the life of a righteous man. When a man dies, whether righteous or unrighteous, he leaves something in the world. Dead men do tell tales. They are not silent, they speak." Abel's testimony is still ringing in our ears today, isn't it? Though there's no recorded words that he spoke, we still know his testimony. And so Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh." After death, after you're gone, what will be said about your life? What will be your testimony? Boy, I'd sure hate my testimony to be that I got mad and killed somebody. Amen? I take the testimony of Abel. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. Cain did it his way. Abel did it God's way. My question for you and me tonight is, which way will it be for us? Will we do it our way? Will we do it God's way? I think it was Frank Sinatra, I believe, that wrote that song, "I Did It My Way." That's the philosophy of the world. I did it my way. That was what Cain did. He did it his way. But that doesn't make it when it comes to God. It has to be God's way, or He does not accept it. I hope that every one of us here tonight can say, "I did it God's way." Amen? And we have decisions in our life every day that we have to make. And that decision, time and time and time again, all boils down to one thing. Am I going to do it my way, or am I going to do it God's way? Am I going to do what I want, or am I going to do what God's told me to do in His Word and obey Him? And every one of us sitting here, we all are guilty. We've all done it our way way too many times, haven't we? I'm glad we have a forgiving, merciful, long-suffering, patient God. I'm glad that He gives us a second and third and fourth chance in our life. As you make the choices in your life tomorrow, and even for the rest of today, may we be able to say, "I did it God's way." And most of all, when you stand before Him, to be able to say, when it comes down to your matter of your salvation, "I did it God's way." The blood sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word, and thank You for the example of Cain and Abel. And Lord, we thank You for the testimony of Abel, that he brought a more excellent sacrifice. It was more excellent because it was what You told him to do. And he obeyed You. Help us to obey You. Help us to have that more excellent sacrifice in our life today, tomorrow, the next day, every day, because we did it God's way. We did what You said, not what we wanted or what we thought. We went and did it. We did it God's way. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.